Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bank Corp studio in Hattiesburg this afternoon. Luke is out. Great show for you today. Cliff Russum, former Southern Miss baseball pitcher and now ESPN analyst. He'll be on the show a little later. Patrick McGee from NOLA.com as well, as we get ready for the Auburn Regional that features Southern Miss, Samford, Penn, and, of course, Auburn. Delighted to have on the show the head coach of the Samford Bulldogs, Coach Tony David. And, Coach, first of all, thanks very much for taking the time in a busy week to talk to us.
No, happy to do it. It's, you know, it's an exciting time for college baseball all over and obviously for our guys and our program.
No question. Now, before we get started with baseball, I understand that you have a real Mississippi connection. Let our listeners here in the state know about that.
Yes, I grew up on the coast there, St. Martin High School there in the Biloxi Ocean Springs area, and my entire family is still down there in that area, and of course a bunch of friends and another extended family in the area as well.
All right, Coach, your second year as the head coach at Samford, but you've been with the program a long time, right? 17 years prior to that?
Yes, yes. This is year number 19 for me in total.
All right, so for people that – we're a baseball, you know, crazy state here, so I think most of our listeners are certainly aware of Samford baseball. But for the few that may not be, 561 wins in the last 18 seasons – you've averaged 31 wins a season over 18 years, 35 wins per season since 2012. So playing in the regionals, winning conference tournaments, playing on big stages, nothing really new for your program.
No, it's not. You know, we really, you know, when we came in as the coaching staff all the way back in 2005, you know, it was a program, I think they were averaging around 18 or 19 wins back then, and we had an incremental increase in win total every 4 or 5 years. It was 27 wins, and then it was 32. And then we kind of broke out in 2011 with a 37-win team in 2011. That was kind of the beginning for us. We made it to the finals of the conference tournament that year and lost it. And then the bulk of that team returned the next year, and we won 41 games and made it to a regional. We beat Mississippi State twice at that regional in 2012. And that was really what elevated the program. That 2011-2012 stretch, we had four guys drafted in 2011 and seven guys drafted in 2012. And then that's where it began. That really what is now kind of a 11, 12, 13-year run and that 35, 36 wins a year type of thing. And, you know, for us and our guys, and year two for me in total in terms of being head coach, you know, we lost late in our tournament last year. And you know, we talked about it on the field that day. You know, we're at a point in our program where a lot of good things happen, but you know, we feel like any year that ends with us not in a regional is a little bit disappointing. So, you know, our guys kind of took that to heart, I think, this year. And this is actually our third regional since 2018. So we've had a pretty good run of it.
All right, 36-23 this year, 15-6 in your conference, 21-5 on the road. 11-17 away, and you won your tournament. You won four games in your tournament. We understand from talking to Coach Berry that you have a really big arm that you've been throwing a lot on Friday night. There's a rumor floating around social media that you've made it public you're going to hold out your Friday night starter. Is there any truth to that, Coach?
there is no truth to that.
Okay, so you can't believe everything you hear on the internet. Is that what I'm hearing from you, Coach David?
No, that is correct. Jake, he has started every Friday for us for 2 years.
I got you. I suspect you're going to see Southern Miss's Friday night starter as well, and that I think probably is the logical way that most head coaches approach a tournament. All right, Coach, give our listeners a kind of a preview of what they can expect when they watch Samford play their Golden Eagles.
You know, I think in a lot of ways both teams are fairly similar. You know, we are this year in particular built a little bit more on the home run and the power game offensively maybe than the last couple of years. We've always hit a lot of home runs. That's always been our thing. Our place and our league is a home run friendly area. Not a lot of sacrifice bunts with this group. We had some really fast guys on our team and in our program. They got hurt early on that we lost for the season and kind of adjusted a little bit in how we approach the game and how we do it. Our guys have thrown well for us, particularly down the stretch. The crazy kid who you referenced has been pretty dominant for us on Friday nights. I think he's fourth in the country in strikeouts and is a guy that's been able to go deep in games and maintain his velocity late in the games and kind of where it'll often the velocity will grow for him as he goes into the game. He had a couple weekends ago at Mercer when we won the league at their place. His last two pitches in the eighth inning were 96 and 96 miles an hour. So he's a true velo power arm guy that really can maintain it and throw strikes. You know, we really catch the ball. We've got a great defensive team, really in all eight spots out there. And, you know, you can throw strikes and catch the ball. You always say scoring is hard. You know, hitting is hard. So that's really what we've done and what we've been able to do down the stretch. Is, you know, when we went to Mercer a couple of weeks ago, they've got a really small park in center and right field, and the wind was blowing out 15 to 20 miles an hour, and we were able to outslug them. And then this past weekend in our tournament, when we had to beat Wofford twice to win it, the wind was blowing in 20 miles an hour, and they're more of a scrappy, kind of slap the ball, line drive, ground ball team, and we were able to win lower scoring games that weekend. So we've shown an ability to do what we've needed to and to be able to adapt given the situation.
All right, Coach, your thoughts about this field and playing Southern Miss?
You know, my view of vantage point on it is a little bit different in terms of growing up in South Mississippi. It was our quote-unquote local school, you know. So right. Southern Miss is a program that I have certainly followed literally my whole life as a baseball guy growing up in Mississippi and what has been done there. Over the years and the three long-term coaches that they've had, and obviously Coach Barry and what he has done there in his time has been incredible. And so, you know, a culmination year for him and what he's done in his time. It's a great environment there. I can tell you that I'm happy that we're not playing at Southern Miss and playing USM there. We came down there for a series, I think, in 2016. And play down there. It was a great environment. I hope to go back down there soon. So, you know, when you get to here, you know that you're going to face a lot of good teams. And right. You're going to, everybody's Friday night guy is going to be really good. And it's going to be about executing and getting the big hits. You know, I told our guys yesterday, we're not going to, it's likely not a good situation where we're going to accumulate, you know, 14 or 15 hits on Friday and win 11 to 9. You know, this is about getting base runners, quality at bats, and getting the timely hit when you need it the most, and then, you know, doing your job, obviously, on the mound and making the plays defensively. So, you know, we want to do what we can to take care of business against Southern Miss on Friday and then hopefully get into a Saturday night matchup with the home team at Auburn.
All right, Coach, just a couple minutes left. I think a lot of conversation has taken place since Sunday around the country, really, certainly down here, about the selection process in the NCAA and how schools like Samford and Southern Miss seem to be always put at a disadvantage when one conference is getting half of the bids. Your thought about the selection process, and is there anything about it you would like to see change, Coach?
Well, I could really talk about it for days. I have been a long lover of college baseball long before I was ever a coach in college baseball. And I played at South Alabama and played for Coach Steve Kitzel there, who I think is the greatest of all time. You know, I think it's a problem in our sport. If you want to grow the sport and make it more of a national sport, to have so much be placed in one region, regardless of the region. And so here recently, in the last 4 or 5 years, it's become so fixated on the one league that they want to do what we can to get it in there. And if a league is the best, and that league is certainly going to get more teams, and if a league is the best, they're going to get more hosts. But I think it's honestly kind of embarrassing for college baseball to have 50% of the host sites be from one league, regardless of the league. And for one league to have as many as 10 teams in the field, I think is an issue in terms of growing the sport. I don't think anyone would argue that their league right now is the best league in college baseball, and there's no question about that. But I think if you're going to grow the sport, you know, all you've got to do is look at the map of the regional sites, one thing, and see how they're clumped down there. But when there's, you know, two question mark sites in terms of hosting, and both of those go to that same league, you know, my thing is I would like for it to be spread out. I would like to have those 10 majors have a little more of an opportunity to put in bids that have shown, especially in Southern Miss's case, that they're going to draw so well. You know, that's what it's supposed to be about, is rewarding the best teams, but also rewarding the best teams that can fill up the seat. Right. And programs like Southern Miss in particular have proven that over the years. And I think if we truly want to grow the sport, we've got to start rewarding programs like that in general, but also in other areas of the country.
Coach, I think that's very well said. I really appreciate you being on the show. Best of luck to you and your kids this weekend.
All right. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Coach Tony David, everybody. Sanford Bulldogs. Well said about the state of college baseball. We'll be back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, great interview with the head coach of Samford College, and Samford University, I should say, and a team, I'm just going to say, Kelly Sander, the Golden Eagles would be wise not to take lightly.
And we have kind of joked about, and you know, about the selections, and but you know, who got to be the hosts, but you know, there were a few teams that definitely got messed over in that, but I don't think anybody can really argue that the teams that are in shouldn't be in, and Sanford's certainly one that should be in.
Right. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander. Want to thank Dickie's Barbecue Pit for sponsoring the opening segment. Campus Book Mart for sponsoring this segment. We love Miss Kathleen. You tell her that you heard us say that. We're happy for her to know that. And can remind you that you can get all of your championship apparel from last week's tournament right there. Campus Book Mart on Hart, but I'd go soon because my guess is it doesn't. Would you look at the gigantic jet that just flew over our building, Kelly?
Yeah, and I don't think that's a Camp Shelby plane either.
No, I think that's a commercial aircraft. All right, well, sorry for that distraction. Patrick McGee's in New Orleans at NOLA.com. He's a big buddy of ours, been on the show since really the first week we were on the air. So, Patrick, just talking to Coach David over at Sanford, and here's what he says about the controversy surrounding the NCAA selection committee for this year's baseball tournament. If you want to be a national sport, you cannot allow one conference to have 8 host sites and 10 teams in the tournament, and you have to spread the tournament out across the nation and allow some of the mid-majors to be more involved, have more of a chance to host, if in fact you want college baseball to become a national sport. You cover sports for a living. Your thoughts?
I see what he's saying. I don't disagree. I think they just botched really this year's host more than anything. I thought a year ago they did a pretty good job, and you had 3 schools that are not, you know, out of non-major conferences who were hosting at Georgia Southern, Southern Miss, East Carolina, and you know, to go this year and the way the Sun Belt played and everything, I thought they deserved 2 host sites. I thought giving South Carolina and even really, well, I mean, and even Auburn potentially, I don't think they were either necessary, but really it was Kentucky that should have been denied the right to host because they had some circumstances up there that really, what they've got a country music festival up there going on and mm-hmm. you can't get a hotel room like until you're an hour outside of town.
Right.
And they're having to host players in, like, dorm room stuff. So there's just a whole host of reason that this didn't go well. But, I mean, you know, mid-major conferences have, a voice. I mean, Will McGillis is on the selection committee. J.R. Teague, who has a son on the Southern Miss baseball roster, is on this selection committee. So, I mean, I don't know why we ended up with the host or, you know, overall, I think that it was a tough year to choose bubble teams. I don't think they necessarily got it right on the back end in terms of the at-large bids. I think they got maybe one or two wrong. Overall, I think the teams that are in are generally deserving. But, yeah, I mean, I just think they really just didn't get it right on the seeds 1 through 16. Alabama's not a 16. They should be like a 12 or something. I'm not sure what went wrong, but I think this year especially just showed that there has to be changes made in the process on specifically on how they decide who hosts site. Yeah,
let me go back to South Carolina for just a minute. I want to give you these facts, Patrick. Get your thoughts. South Carolina 39-19. They lost. They were 3-11. 3-11 in their last 14 games. Here they come. 39 wins. 19 of those were compiled against the following competition. 3 wins against UMass Loyal, 2 wins against Winthrop, 1 against Queens College, 3 against Penn, 1 against North Carolina A&T, 2 against the Citadel, 2 against USC Upstate, 3 against Bethune-Cookman, 1 against Presbyterian, and 1 against Charleston Southern. In no other league could you play that type of non-conference schedule and drop 11 of your last 14 games and host a regional tournament. Is that not fair to say?
No, and really they got here, just because they had a hot stretch early in conference play, and like you said, they just fell off. I mean, a team that's limping in this badly should not be hosting a regional. I don't really, I mean, they shouldn't have given 8 to the SEC. I think they have to really, really go back and look at RPI, if not ditch it all together. Have it much less of a say in how they're determining who gets in and who hosts. So, I mean, all they have to do is go in and look at what these teams did. You know, I mean, all they have to do is look at the resume. You know, like 10 teams that are, excuse me, say like 10 through 25. You know, if that whole bunch looks kind of head to head, you know, they look pretty even. All you got to do is look closer, and they just did not look close enough. Whenever they handed out these host sites.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that you could do too is, and I don't know how the members of the selection committee are placed on the selection committee, but let me suggest, besides my colleague's Bob Getty's suggestion of playing these regional tournament games at neutral sites like they do with the basketball tournament, if you're not going to do that, then put people on the selection committee whose schools are traditionally not a player in baseball. Put the AD from Colorado on there, or Idaho, or New Mexico State. Iowa State, my alma mater, doesn't even have baseball. All right? They have competent athletic directors, but they're not factors in, and then let an unbiased panel make those decisions. Is that reasonable, Pat?
Yeah, I see. I think it's more they just need to get people involved who are not actively, athletic directors and stuff like that. I mean, with the college football playoffs, all that. I mean, they've got Jeff Bauer, who was retired from coaching. A bunch of other. I mean, there's people out there who sit back now and can see things from a good point of view and pay attention. It's tough for an AD or somebody like that to keep up with the national field and how things go week in, week out. Just get people who are recently retired, or maybe even get some scouts involved. Something. Just rework the deal. Just don't get anybody active involved. Get retired ADs and retired coaches involved.
I think that's a great idea to start with.
What do you think about the idea of going down the same road that the basketball tournament goes down, which seems to be the most exciting collegiate program in the country, is March Madness? I don't think anybody really argues with that. But they play everybody. Everybody plays at a neutral site. Why can't you do that?
No, that's. I think that's not a good idea. These things are exciting because they're played on campus. The settings. If we're playing these on neutral, college baseball just doesn't have the audience that the NCAA basketball tournament has. And moving them to neutral sites is not going to grow the audience for this. So I think the on-campus charm is the reason that this is growing. Not it's not cheapening or making anything less. I think it absolutely has to stay on campus.
All right, well, fair enough. And we respect your opinion, but you agree something has to be changed.
Yeah, I mean, just the process of you know, who's on the committee, the use of RPI, you know, there just has to be more attention to detail on how they're doing that.
But can I argue the chicken versus the egg thing with our friend Patrick? Is that that I agree that a lot of places aren't college baseball isn't very popular, but maybe it's because fan bases in those areas haven't been exposed to it. Maybe if some of these neutral sites did host some college baseball tournaments, it would create new excitement. It would create new fans and therefore grow the game, which is one of the things they say they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't buy that. I mean, this college baseball is just a niche, too much of a niche sport right now. I don't think putting them in stadiums that are half empty or a third empty are going to, you know, really help in the long run. I think it sucks some of the wind out of this. It's the passion. That's what makes this good. And if you're putting neutral sites, it just takes some of the energy and the passion out of it.
Yeah. One thing I've always wondered, too, guys, I've never understood why there's more emphasis placed on postseason tournaments than regular season play. The regular season championship is a much broader look at how a team did throughout the year than a postseason tournament. And you need to look no further than 14 and what is it, Patrick? 14 and 42 Tulane? Some crazy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's argument to be made that the automatic bids need to be given to the regular season champions.
Right.
But what do you do? Just ditch conference tournaments altogether because there's no benefit of playing in the conference tournament at all at that point. So that's really the crux of that.
It's a mess, Patrick. If they let me and you and Kelly iron all this out, we could have this resolved before next year.
Well, I think there are simple solutions to the process. I don't think it's really that hard. I just think RPI needs to become a much, you know, instead of it being playing 90% of the decision process, it needs to be about a third.
Well, Patrick, if indeed you're right that there are simpler ways, there's no better committee than you, me, and Bob, because clearly there are no more simple people than the three of us.
Yeah,
right?
That'd be exactly right. All right, we've got the Professor Patrick McGee on board with us today. He's agreed to hang around for another segment. We'll get Patrick's view of Southern Miss and what happens the rest of the year. We always like to talk a little football with Patrick. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour is brought to you in part by Jana King, the King of Clean. Their team has been working for over 35 years, cleaning places of work, education, medicine, eateries, stadiums, and worship all through South Mississippi. They'll do the same thing for your business. To find out more, just go to JanaKingCleans.com. Also want to tell you that if you want to catch the ball games, then go to 4th Street Bar and Grill. Every game will be on. It'll be a Southern Miss crowd. You'll feel right at home. Will be no Auburn fans there, we can assure you. Probably no Samford fans or Penn fans. I don't think Penn fans are not allowed in 4th Street Bar and Grill.
Do you think they would dare go into 4th Street Bar and Grill?
But we will. We will. And we think you should, too. All right, Patrick McGee is with NOLA.com. All right, Patrick, I promise, Kelly and I are through complaining about the NCAA selection committee. We've been only doing that now for 4 days. Even my wife said, maybe it's time to move on. But anyway. But, Patrick, so let's start. So Southern Miss is in Auburn. They're practicing this afternoon. They open against Samford. Penn plays Auburn tomorrow night at, I think, around 8 o'clock, 7 or 8 o'clock. analyze this field and tell us if the Golden Eagles can take their second consecutive regional championship.
Yeah, I see kind of an open regional is the best way to describe it. And I think Southern Miss has a very good shot. I think even the odds makers really put Southern Miss and Auburn not that far apart in terms of the most likely team to win this regional. And I think Southern Miss has the pitching at this point. You know, they really solidified. You know, it's maybe not as deep as they were a year ago, but I think they really have a solid group. They can get them through a regional, and they've been hitting enough. You know, they did kind of have the hiccup against App State in the conference tournament. They just can't afford that, you know, and they have to come in here and not let the other team's best player beat you. You know, the last time Southern Miss lost the regional on the road, it was in Oxford, and Tim Elko really just hammered them. You know, so it's really just playing clean baseball and having their stars stand out and figure out a way to kind of hold the other guys in check. And I think the Southern Miss has enough pitching to do that.
Here's what I see about this team, too. I don't think it's the most talented team I've covered, but, boy, this is a gritty bunch of kids. They're experienced. There are a lot of older players on the team who are not going to want their careers to end anytime soon. And I think they have a lot of grit and determination, and I think whoever plays them is going to have to deal with that, Patrick.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the thing that really kind of tilts Southern Miss's way in all this is that they're such an experienced lineup throughout, and they've done a pretty good job of coming through in the clutch. I feel much better about this lineup than I did a year ago. Really, they were just so inconsistent in the plate last season. I think this year this is a group that's putting together smarter at bats and giving themselves a chance, and that's all you really have to do. You know, is make the other team make mistakes, not make too many on your own in the field or at the plate or on the mound. So I think Southern Miss has really kind of cut back on the small mistakes and really playing a much cleaner baseball at the moment. So I think they are set up for success. But, again, as long as those bats show up, I think they got a very good chance to win this regional.
And so much of baseball is mental. I guess a lot of sports is mental. So I don't want to overstate the obvious. But here's something that I think might be working against Auburn in particular. And I'm not trying to start anything here, but hear me out. I think what's working against Auburn is that the Tigers feel like they deserve to host and that they deserve to be number one. And I think that can really work against them, that they start smelling themselves a little bit. Conversely, I think the fact that the Eagles didn't get to host, they feel like they were slighted, and they've got Scott Berry retiring at the end of the year. I think all of those psychological things will work for Southern Miss. Bob, you think those make sense?
Well, I think there's some legitimacy to that, yes. And I think it's really interesting, and we really haven't touched on this, Patrick, about the situation with Scott Berry. I mean, how heavily is that on the minds of those kids? And does that, in a way, provide a little extra incentive for them to maybe play harder than they normally even do play?
Yeah, I mean, I saw some of that 1-2 in the conference tournament, be able to watch some of those games. You know, he saw the guys really, you know, display anger whenever they had a bad at bat or something like that. He just saw some kind of responses that made you think these guys are really into it and really tuned in and want this badly. So just to have that extra motivation, you know, everybody's been talking about the last time Southern Miss was in this situation in 2009 and how they responded. Every team is different. Every situation is different. But you have those kind of X factors going along with Southern Miss, and looking at this region, there's just not great pitching depth among the other teams. I think Auburn's ERA is close to 6. Tommy Vail is a really good left-hander for them, and he could give Southern Miss a really good challenge. But overall, I think this could be one of those regionals. You know, I could easily see it where, you know, the team that wins this has one loss. You know, I don't see any team really kind of skating through with ease. I think there's a good chance this regional is going to last a bit.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance there's going to be a game on Monday. I think that's what Patrick. And the Golden Eagles have shown they can do that. They did that a couple of years ago in Oxford. They lost the opener to Florida. They took it all the way to Monday, and, I mean, it was down to the wire on Monday afternoon.
But if that's the case, and to what Patrick just said, that's a huge plus for Southern Miss in pitching depth. That all comes down to pitching depth if you're going to Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, you got Armistead you could put out there who's probably thrown in, you know, he's probably, to me, Armistead's the second best starting pitcher that Southern Miss has at the moment, just the way he's throwing it. So when you got, you know, Oldham, Armstead, Hall, Adams, I think, still kind of getting closer to what he where he wants to be.
Nico Mazza?
Nico Mazza and Justin Storm, who threw, 80 pitches. So, yeah, I mean, you got a bunch of guys that can last well in the games and give you a very good chance to win.
Yeah, well, it's exciting. Overall, Sun Belt with four teams in. I think that's kind of what all of us thought might happen.
Right.
Coastal, a very strong team. Troy, I watched them play a couple of games out of Montgomery. They're a very capable team. There's no question. Louisiana is Louisiana. They're just good.
How
far can the Sun Belt go in this thing, you think?
We'll see. I mean, obviously, it doesn't feel like Coastal's probably playing its best going into the regional. So we'll see how they respond. I think what Duke is the two seed there. I've been kind of a believer in Duke most of the season, so that may be a tough one. I think Louisiana in Coral Gables, the Miami regional, is an interesting one to watch. The Cajuns are a talented team, probably good enough pitching wise, but they showed here last week that they can really compete. So I think UL is the other team that might kind of surprise.
Here's another thing I don't get about the NCAA, Patrick. They term these regional tournaments. What would have been any more electric than having the Raging Cajuns square off against LSU and Baton Rouge?
And throw Nichols in there with them.
They got Tulane in the Baton Rouge regional, so... it was just one of those things where they kind of had to spread out the Louisiana teams. You had Nichols that also made it in there having to go to Tuscaloosa. So it was just one of those things, had to spread around. But the West Coast and the Northeast are really struggling to put up, you know, get those host sites. And you've got some Pac-12 teams playing on the East Coast this year. So it's just it's tough whenever the Pac-12 is just kind of down in baseball at the moment. And that just makes it tougher to make these things more regional.
Fair to say that LSU would prefer to open with Tulane as opposed to the Raging Cajuns?
Yeah, I think they would very much prefer that. But, heck, Tulane's hot, so you just don't know. That's why I always enjoy the first day of these regionals, because that's whenever the weirdest stuff often happens. So I'm really interested to see how these games play out.
Yeah, and at LSU, if you would have had LSU, Tulane, Louisiana – and Nichols?
That'd be crazy exciting.
There's not enough beer in that state.
No, I mean that would be some kind of a regional tournament to have, would it not?
Boy, you talk about a war.
And you can second guess it forever. But I kind of wondered, you know, Troy is like an hour from Auburn. Hattiesburg's 2 hours, 2.5 hours from Tuscaloosa. Why would you send USM over to Auburn and Troy to Tuscaloosa? Again, regional is what I'm thinking, but, you know, neither here nor there. All right, Patrick, give us your prediction. What do the Golden Eagles have to do, and how does Patrick McGee see this thing turning out? Patrick?
Did we lose him?
Did we lose you, Patrick?
I'm here. Sorry about that. I got muted. But it's kind of hard to pick right now since they haven't announced pitching matchups, and I'm kind of interested to see how Auburn handles things. I think I see Southern Miss going through. I think they went through. Like I said, I think there's a good chance they're going to have one loss and they have to come back on Monday. But I think even then they're going to have the pitching to get through on Monday. So I think Southern Miss wins the regional. I think they get enough hitting. I don't think they're going to swing their way through. But I think we're going to see a lot of tight games, and Southern Miss just has the experience to get through.
And if a lot of these hosts that are from the SEC don't particularly do well, then that is something that they need to, even though teams change from year to year, I get that, but that's something that whoever is on the committee next year needs to take into account, is you hosted all these tournaments last year, so you're already favored by virtue of getting to play on your home field, and you didn't hold serve on your home field, so why should we give you one this year?
All right, Patrick, we appreciate the conversation with you, my friend. We'll look forward to talking about the regionals with you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, NOLA.com. We thank the world of the professor and look forward to our next conversation. All right, well, it's over for William Carey. We covered it pretty thoroughly. We were disappointed. We're going to talk about it next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, great guest today, and we want to thank everybody. We want to thank Coach David at Samford. Other than the Friday game at 1 o'clock, I hope they do very well. Really, really nice guy. And I also want to thank Patrick Mee. Tomorrow, we have the Penn coach on the show, an Ivy Leaguer on the Eagle Hour. That'll be a first.
Gadzooks, a Penn man on the show.
Yeah, we'll have a Penn man on the show tomorrow.
The Fighting Quakers.
And also, we've got another great guest tomorrow.
Yeah, Ladd Rhodes is going to join us tomorrow, former Southern Miss assistant coach in the COVID year of 2020. He is now the hitting coach and recruiting coordinator for the Nichols State Colonels, who won the Southland Conference regular season and tournament. And they are going up against the Crimson Tide tomorrow night. So we'll actually be talking to Ladd Rhodes tomorrow just before they play Alabama.
All right, Kelly, and I realize you'll be watching the baseball game at 1 o'clock, but you can always catch the show, and we think you'll enjoy it on the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's available on Apple, Audible, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa at any point after the game tomorrow to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And she'll do that for you. D1 DBAT's a great sponsor of our program. We thank them for all they do. Great training facility for adults and kids. And also want to thank Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And a great place to go enjoy some good desserts over the weekend. We guarantee you. You'll like it. They put the place in New Orleans to shame.
Well, and you know, they don't even make the beignets until you order them.
You order them, so they're hot.
And fresh. Right? It's not stuff that's been sitting...
Hot and fresh.
Describes me, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Should have seen Sander yesterday hugging a woman while he was still talking. I was impressed with that. You never missed a beat.
Man, I still, you know, my nephews, we were up at Indianapolis, and I was doing some media events up there, and some, you know, women would... And I told my nephews, they said, man,
here we go, everybody.
Uncle Kelly, you can still spit some game.
It's getting deep, everybody.
I said, well, when I need to, you know.
I didn't wear any boots today, Kelly.
I
got on tennis shoes.
I tell you all the time, what is it that I look for in women? Total and utter desperation.
And even then, he's not successful.
I can smell
it's
it a mile
sad.
Away.
It's sad as hell. All right. I'll tell you what else is a little sad. William Carey University knocked out of the NAIA World Series last night. Won two games and then lost their final two. And, of course, we carried all the games, and we've been talking a lot to Carey coaches and players. We're fans, and we were really pulling for them. But, you know, as Kelly, it's the time of the year, and really in the end, every school – at every level deals with it, I guess, except the one that wins it all.
Right.
It's disappointing and breaks your heart a little bit when the season comes to an end. But after a day or two, you're able to reflect as a fan, as a player, as a coach, back on the season as a whole. And when you do that with William Carey, it was a remarkably good year.
They were one game short of a 50-win season. I mean, when have you ever heard college teams as good as Southern Miss teams have had? I don't think the Eagles have come that close to winning 50 games in a
season.
One
time, yeah. I think, the last 15
years. And who knows? Maybe this year will be that year. Right. You know, the Eagles still have some baseball in front of them. And Bobby Hallford, you know, notched his 1,300th
win. That's
hard
to believe.
Well, he's stuck on that number now, Bobby. He just can't get over that 1,300 win hump. But, yeah, they're coming home from Lewiston, Idaho. And they played Lewis and Clark. Which Lewis and Clark has been to a ton of NAIA World Series games, and they were playing on their home field in Idaho. So they had a huge crowd there last night, you know, Lewis and Clark playing on their home field, and Carey just came up a little bit short. But, yeah, it was a great season and great memories for those kids at William Carey.
Look, I want to take just a minute, and I want to thank three people because they just did an absolutely outstanding job. If you heard the radio broadcast, they were just as good as they get. Ben Milam, who did the play-by-play from out there in Idaho. Our operations manager and Eagle Hour producer, Michael Mergens, who cemented everything together, made sure the games were on, did all the production. Caleb Hamill, who is an associate of ours and our PCS play-by-play voice. And Caleb really engineered this idea of us broadcasting the games and was really instrumental in helping us find sponsors and do production work. And so... those three guys did just a tremendous, tremendous job, and want to thank them all. It makes you proud when you got people around you working with you that can put on radio pr- productions like they did. It was very good.
And on one hand, it was a long season, but on the other hand, you're kind of sad that it's over, you know?
Yeah.
And it won't be long. In fact, July 25th and July 26th in New Orleans, Sun Belt Media Days for college football.
I'm not sure Michael's too sad about being up at 1 o'clock in the morning, making sure the game got on the air and we got back on the network after the game. But he is a big Kerry fan, for sure.
Yeah, and Merg doesn't get a whole lot of credit, and I understand why he doesn't. You know, want a lot of credit. He still owes the IRS a lot of money, so he doesn't want them to know really where he's hanging out,
correct,
or at. But nonetheless,
he's tremendous.
Yes, indeed.
He does a lot behind the scenes that make this show what it is too. So we're grateful to him for that. All right. Well, it's
countdown is on, Bob.
The countdown is on. There's a lot of angst in the air. And I would just say this, pull for the Golden Eagles. I think they're going to play very, very well. And just keep in mind what a great year it's been and what a great, great bunch of kids this is on this baseball team.
Yeah, they will represent and have represented as well off the field as they have on. And to me, that's the most important
thing. There's no question about that. Until next time, everyone, Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. To the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world of mission. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.